Next week, I'm sleeping in the usual line, so.
Believe that.
Is that true?
I have a class.
Is that true, you're sleeping?
Yeah, we have a wedding next week. Okay, we're on. Are you sure it's centered?
No, you're not centered.
Not centered. Okay.
This is the center.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're on Parshas Korach. Okay, Parshas Korach. Okay, doesn't make me any better looking, okay. Okay, let's see how far we can go with this. The first piece is Emes Liakov from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who we see many times. Vayomer Moshe Bizot Teidun Ki Hashem Shalachani La'asot Et Kol HaMa'asim Ha'ele. So this whole fight that here you have Korach and his group challenging Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership, demanding a piece of the pie, and Moshe instructs them to bring fire pans, and he will prove that he is right, and that Aaron is the rightful person to be the Kohen Gadol, and Korach has no place in the leadership of Am Yisrael, and he does this on his own. Nowhere do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him to go through this fire pan experience to prove the Ketoreth, to prove Aaron's the veracity of Aaron's leadership. Okay, so here's what he writes, very to the short and to the point. Hare Shemoshe Rabbeinu hichlit me'atzmo lahavi et kol mesirat haTorah b'sakana. Moshe Rabbeinu, on his own, determined to bring the entire Mesorah, tradition, future of Klal Yisrael in jeopardy. If he would fail now, remember, he was not commanded by God to do this. If he would fail, this would be the end of Klal Yisrael. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised a miraculous assistance here. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have done a miracle, it's as if he's saying he's working on his own. He doesn't work for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why did he do this? Why did he work independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Answer, Aval be'emet, lo hayita l'moshe breira. Moshe didn't have a breira, didn't have a choice. It was an eis lasos l'ashem. Hainut mishum she'im b'tkufa ha'hi, if in this moment in history, adayim yeshnam anashim ha'mefakbekim al shlichuto, who challenge his leadership. At this early point in Moshe Rabbeinu's history, you've already got people challenging the Mesorah, our tradition, our chain of command. Im kein kol torato shemasar li Yisrael enu shava klum. Then the entire Torah that he gave Klal Yisrael is not worth a dime. Shari az tamid yavo od ke'elu. It'll keep coming. If he lets it go on, they'll keep coming. Every generation, they'll whittle away. They'll whittle away at the Mesorah of Torah. Vayifakbeku al amitut shlichuto. And they'll challenge and whittle away the truthfulness of his leadership. V'imkein muchrachu la'asot nisayon zeh. So he had to do this test. He had to jump in. Shari afim HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh et hanes. Even if God would not have done the miracle, referring to the fire pans working, the earth opening up and swallowing up Korach. V'yitba'er shemoshe enu shaliach amiti. If God would not have done this, and it wouldn't have shown that Moshe was the proper Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he have to lose? Aval im lo yaseh klum, gam ken yaseh ken. If he wouldn't do anything, you'd have the same results. So if he didn't act, it would be all over. And if he acts and God doesn't respond, it'll also be all over. Shahari Belize Tamid Yifakbeku Anashim Bamit Yuto. People are going to constantly try to depose Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulechein lo haya manos lemoshe milasot kein. So he determined he had no choice. He had to act on his own in order to save Klal Yisrael. It wasn't for his covenant, Chas v'Shalom, but it was to save Klal Yisrael. There's another question in Halacha, which I'm not going to go into here. I'm actually giving a shiur later on this morning, one of the yeshivas, about this. You know, there's a question about using a refuah skulit. Are you allowed to be mechalal Shabbos, let's say, to send a kfitl to a rebbe if someone is deathly ill? right? There are actually shilas in the tshuva literature about this. Sending a kvittel, sending a telegram on a Shabbos to a Rebbe to pray for somebody who's deathly ill. So you really, the bottom line is you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a questionable, a spiritual healing. It has to be a refuah yidua. It has to be a known medicine, and then of course for Pikuach Nefesh you can be Mechal Shabbos. So the question is how Moshe Rabbeinu did this whole business of the Machtos, the fire pans. It was a skula, it was superstitious, it was mystical. It wasn't refuah, right? So the simple answer is that a malach told him to do it. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that Moshe was a Navi. A Navi has a right to change any, to cancel temporarily any mitzvah in the Torah with one exception, Avodah Zarah, idol worship. But any other mitzvah, a prophet has the power to cancel a mitzvah for any given moment. So that answers this particular problem. Okay, let's go to two. This is from Rav Schwab in the main Beit HaShoeva. Vaydaber el Korach ve'el kol adato. So what did Moshe say to Korach? Lebor, boker, morning, v'yeda Hashem, in the morning you'll see, Hashem will know, et asher lo, who's on first and who's on second, v'et ha-kodesh v'ha-koro v'lov, v'et asher yivchar bo yakri v'lov, and he's going to bring Aaron into the leadership. So Rashi explains this, u'boker, in a number of ways. U'berashi, boker v'yodeya, what does that mean? In the morning you will know. Amar le Moshe, so he told him, Moshe told him a kind of drasha, right? And now a drasha. Amar le Moshe, gvulot chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olamo. God made perimeters in his world. There's a morning, there's a night. Yecholim atem lahafoch boker le'erev. Can you change morning into evening? Kein tuchlo levatel ezu. So too, you cannot change what God wants to do in terms of the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Just like you can't make night into day and day into night, you can't change the fact that Aaron is going to be the Kohen. Shenemar, vayi erev, vayi boker, vayavdel. They're two separate things. There's evening, there's morning, and he's separated. Vayavdel, and the same thing here, you have the word vayavdel Aaron lagdisho. He separated Aaron to be the Kadosh, to be the Holy One. Just like he separated between day and night, there is a physical reality of distinctiveness in the creation. There's also a spiritual reality of distinctiveness in the creation. There is day and night. There is Aaron and Korach. And never the twain shall meet. V'tzarech bir, but we have to understand, dinyan havdalat Aaron l'hakdisho mibnei Yisrael l'havdalat bogavar. But what's this metaphor? He wants to now explain why make this comparison of day and night of Erev and Boker to Aaron and Korah? She says very beautifully, V'nirei shehari ha'or hu ha-mashpia. Light is the mashpia. Light is the influence. The influence in the world. Light influences the world. Ba'od shehachoshech eino mashpia klal. Darkness doesn't do anything for us, right? Doesn't do anything for us, right? Unless, you know, if you've been to the Blind Museum, that's an amazing experience which I recommend to you, to see the chesed of Hashem, how blind people are able to find their way in the dark. But generally speaking, darkness is not mashpia, right? Hachoshech eino mashpia klal. Ela mikabel hashpat haor. But the darkness receives the influence from the light. V'hazman shebo mitaravim or v'choshech. That time of the day, of the 24-hour cycle, where night and day, where darkness and light come together, what's that called? Erev. Where does that word come from? Al shem hata'aravut. Iruv is a word for mixture, coming Irvuvia. Together. Irbuvia is a whole chunk. But Irvuv is to, the Arvev is to mingle two things together. That's the word Eruv that we talk about on Shabbos. And Eruv joins together different rishuyot, different premises and areas. So Erev is a mixture of day and night. Hazman shebo mafrid haor et atzmo min hachoshech. The time that light frees itself from choshech, it removes itself from choshech. Nikra, what's that? Boker. What's boker? Miloshen chiluk. The word boker is lo yivaker bein tov l'ra. To choose is a word to distinguish between good and bad. Boker is a verb, is levaker, is to distinguish. So boker is distinctive. It removes, the darkness is completely removed from the light. That's boker. Erev is, there's a mixture of the darkness and the light. That's night. So here's this point. That's the metaphor to Aaron. V'hinei ha-kohanim, hei mamash b'yim l'kal Yisrael. The Kohanim are the influences, the influencers of the Jewish people. Hei mamevochim es ha'am ba'ava. They bless the people ba'ava, right? Birchas ha-koh, birchas kohanim in the morning. Ve'hei mamechaprim ba'adam. And they atone for the Jewish people. They give us spiritual light, blessing and atonement. V'zehu ha-moshel sha'amar lo Moshe l'korah. And this is what Moshe told Korah. Just like there's a dramatic distinction between day and night, between Boker and Erev, Shahaboker, who has man, Shahaora Mashpia, it's the time of clear, the influencing power of daylight. Vaha Erev, who has man, Shahaboshe Hamushpa, and Erev is a time of darkness, which is under the influence. Ken yesh hevdel bein Aaron ubanavu bnei Yisrael. So too there is a world of difference between Aaron and his children who represent that hashpa'ah, that influence, that light, and the rest of the Jewish people, and especially you, Korach. Shakohanim heim ha-mashpi'im ubnei Yisrael heim mekabli ha-hashpa'ah. Aaron is the Kohen, is the mashpia, the influencer, and the Jewish people receive that influence. And you are totally in the dark, Korach. You don't belong. You don't belong in this. Okay. Number three is the Shem Mishmuel, the great Sachet Shavu Rebbe, and he quotes, we have here, I'm quoting, he's going to make a very short comment here on Rashi. Korach Shepikeachai, and Korach was, you know, they say in Yiddish, Reich V'Korach. Korach was the richest man in the world. He was also a very smart person. He was also a very holy person. So Korach Shepikeachai, he was a smart guy, Ma Ra L'Shtuzeh. What led him to this stupidity? So the Gemara, so the Rashi quotes here, the Chazal, the rabbi say, Eino hitata, his eye deceived him. Rashi shelet gedola yotza mimenu. He saw great progeny coming from him. He saw that he's going to have famous children, right? Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel, Samuel. Sheshakul keneged Moshe v'Aaron, who's as big as Moshe and Aaron together. Amar, he said, Bishvilo ani nimla. You know, I'm going to be saved because of Shmuel. Right? V'chav dalet mishmaras omdos mibnei bonav. His future children, grandchildren will be Kohanim. Kula misnavim v'ruach HaKodesh. He'll have descendants who will prophesy. Shenemar kol eile bonim lehman. That's referring to Korach. Amar, efshe kol hakdula hazot atidala amod mimeni v'ani adom. Is it possible that all this greatness is going to come to me and I'm going to be silent here? I have to speak up. Obviously, I have to become a leader. Lekach nishtatef lavo lo'oto chazakah. So he came to this strength. Sheshama mipi Moshe, shekulam ovdim, ve'echad nimlad. He was told that asher yivchar Hashem hu ha-kadosh. One person is going to be the kadosh, the kohen, right? Tov talabatz, when he thought it was him. It's going to be him. V'lo ra yafa l'fi shebanav asu tshuva. But he didn't see right in the future. His children did tshuva. They repented, right? U'moshe hayiro. Moshe saw the whole thing. Now, listen to the Shem Mishmuel in this Rashi. What's wrong with that? We say that bra mezaka av aviv, a child can have schus for a child. If children do mitzvahs, it's a good thing for the child in this world and in the next world. Why is Yurtzeit so important? Why do we Yisker so important and Kaddish so important? After 120 years, when someone leaves this world, the more mitzvahs that we do for a loved one as a child helps that person, gives the neshama an elevation in the world of truth, in Olam HaBo, in the Olam HaEmes, right? So what's wrong with Korach's thinking? So listen, he makes a very subtle point here. Barashi Rosh HaShalos Gedoli, Yotzami Menu, Yisar Shmuel, etc., etc. Okay, third line, V'yesh Lavin. We have to understand, halo bra mezake aba. A child does, you know, does give points to a father. V'lam alo ilulo tzchutav. So why wasn't the merit of Shmuel, his descendant, and his future children, why didn't that help him? Answer, v'nirishu humitam. Let me explain it, he says, by referring to another din. Echtev yom kippurim mechaper. If a guy says, I'm going to sin and Yom Kippur I'll take care of it. Yom Kippur will take care of it for me.
Because,
right. Yom Kippur has the power of forgiving us. Even if we don't ask forgiveness, there's a certain power to the day of Yom HaKippurim that gives tshuva. So if the guy says, I'll sin, but Yom Kippur will atone for me. Ein Yom HaKippurim mechaper. If a guy says that, Yom Kippur doesn't work for you. Why not? Mipnei she Yom HaKippurim haya. Because Yom Kippur is supposed to work, because Mipnei she Yom HaKippurim haya siba lecheta'o. You know why? Because that was the cause of his sin. The saving grace of Yom Kippur, the fact that Yom Kippur will save somebody and forgive somebody who sins, even if he doesn't do tshuva, that was the reason why he sinned. I'm sinning because I know Yom Kippur has this power. Since Yom Kippur has this power, so I'm going to sin. Well, if since you're relying on that power of Yom Kippur, to sin, not just to be saved, to sin, so therefore it doesn't help. Same thing with Korah. He said, you know what, why should I have to do what I have to do? Because after all, Shmuel, the prophet's going to come from me. My grandchildren are going to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Because of them, I know I'm doing right. I'm going to challenge Moshe's leadership. Wrong. He used that future prophecy to know that he's going to have those great children. That's the reason why he sinned. He turned it upside down. He turned it on his head. That's why it didn't work for him. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Four. I want to move quickly because I want to get everything done. We have something very special on the back and we're going to get to it. This is the Malvim. Now there's a famous mission in Pirkei Avot. This is the season to learn Perek, to learn Pirkei Avos on Shabbos. So there's a Mishnah which relates to this. The Mishnah says, Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hiskayim. I'm sure you must have heard this Mishnah, any machlokes, any difference of opinion that is for the sake of heaven will work out. It will come to peace. Machlokes she'ena l'shem shamayim, a machlokes that is not for the right reasons, ein sofa l'hiskayim. It's not going to work out. Ezi, the Mishnah says, Ezi machloket l'shem shamayim. What is a machloket for the sake of heaven? Zu machloket hilel v'shamayim. The great rabbis hilel and shamayim with their different opinions of halacha in the Gemara. That's a machloket l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven. Right? Ve'ezi machloket shilo l'shem shamayim. What is a difference of opinion that's not sincere? Zu machloket korach v'adosim. Korach and his congregation. So now, the Malbim asks a bomb of a question. What do you mean, Korach v'Hadassah? Say, what is a machlokas for the sake of heaven? Hillel and Shammai. What is a machlokas not for the sake of heaven? Korach and Moshe. What are you saying, Korach and his people and his congregation? That was a machlokas shelo l'shem Shammai. What's the Mishnah trying to teach us? Mishnah trying to tell something very profound. Very profound. What's a machlokas that's not l'shem shamayim is when the protagonists of one side are all enemies of each other. Each one wanted cover. They were all in there. Each one wanted leadership. Reuven and his tribe wanted leadership, and Korach wanted leadership. So Korach va'adato. That was a machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim because even the one side of the machlokas couldn't get it together. They all had their own personal agenda. That's the tragedy of a machlokas that's not l'shem shamayim. That even one side is not together. Forget about that they're fighting Moshe Rabbeinu. And incidentally, concerning machlokas, which we should stay away from, some of the Monei HaMitzvot even say that there's one of the Taryag Mitzvot is not to make a machloket. The Rambam doesn't count it, but there are those who count not to make a machloket as an Issur D'oraisa, Torah prohibition. But one thing is true historically. When there's a fight, there's only one time in Jewish history when one side was 100% right and the other side was 100% wrong, and that was Moshe and Korah. Since then, it doesn't work that way, right? You have to listen to both sides. Sometimes it's 99% and 1%, sometimes it's 60-40, whatever it is, but it's never 100% versus zero. Just doesn't work that way. We convince ourselves that sometimes when we get ourselves into these situations, but the best thing is not to get ourselves into these situations. Okay, the last piece. on the other side. Now this is a beautiful piece from the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, the great Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. And there were two great rabbis in Dvinsk. There were two communities. There was a Hasidic community and a Misnagdish community. Rav Meir Simcha was the rabbi of the Misnagdi. The Rogachev Ragon was the rabbi of the Hasidim. They were Lubavitcher Hasidim in Dvinsk. And this is not written in any of his works. I've told you before, the Or Sameach was a giant. And his Meshech Chachma on Chumash, which we have referred to many times, is a classic. He wrote it when he was 16 years old. But his father would not let him publish it, because in those days in Lita, in Lithuania, everybody could put out a sefer. A wagon driver put out a sefer on Chumash. Tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholarship. So his father told him, first put out your Chidushim on Shas and the Rambam, and people will then see who you are. And then you'll publish the Meshech Chachma. That's what he did. He published the Or Sameach on the Rambam, and people saw the greatness, the genius, and then, okay. Now this is not in one of his books. This was given over orally. There's a shelshelet of this from Rav Kook. Rav Kook actually told this to a person by the name of Rabbi Shmuel of Werner, who told it over to somebody else, Rav Zev Rabiner, and he wrote it in a sefer. Okay, about the Meshech Chachma. So let's see what it says. At the end of the Parsha, you see that the Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, is distinguished for receiving all kinds of matnat, kahuna, and tithes and trumas. So because of the hour, I'm going to do this outside. I'll do it outside. So the Torah tells us that Shevet Levi is exempt from all taxation. They don't have to pay tax. They don't have to participate in any of the civic duties of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they have to work in the Beit Hamikdash, right? So the Meshech Chachma asks the question, and therefore we give them places, we give them cities to live in, Arei Leviim. We give them Trumot and Maasrot. We give them Meiser, a tenth of our crops, we give to the Levi. So the Meshech Chachma, the Or Sameach, asks a simple question: Zeh lo fair. Do the math. There are 52 weeks of the year. Shmuel Hanavi and David Melech Yisrael divided up Shevet Levi into 24 watches. Each watch was divided up into 7 Batei Av. That means, 52 weeks a year, that means every Mishmar will work 2 weeks a year. That means every Kohen will work 2 days a year. Right? 24 watches of Shevet Levi. So that's over 48 weeks, plus Yom Tovim, plus the Yom Tovim. It works out to about 2 weeks a year for every watch, and in that week you have 7 Batei Av, so you'll have one Kohen each day working in the Beis HaMikdash. So do the math. Each Kohen or Levi is working 2 days a year in the Beis HaMikdash, and because of that, for that he's given government housing, free housing, he's given, right, Meiser, he's being supported by the community. How do we understand this? The Meshech Chachma says something very beautiful. He says, working in the Beis HaMikdash is not about 1 day a year or 2 days a year. It requires an entire year of preparation, of studying Torah, of performing, perfecting the holy Avodat HaKorbanot, the sacrificial service, and preparing yourself and learning. It's a whole process that requires a whole year. It's not about 1 day. But to work that 1 day is a whole year, it's a lifetime's process. And that's what the Kohen and the Levi are being paid for. Now, I've often said this under a chuppah at weddings, that, you know, the joy of a simcha, of a wedding, is not just the day of the simcha. It's thinking about all that went into bringing those children to the chuppah, the parenting that the parents put in, the grandparents, and the chosan kol themselves, their education, their dreaming, their efforts, and so on. It's not about 1 day. The simcha is not about 1 day. It's about a lifetime. And that's why the Shevet Levi has their entitlement to be supported by the community. Not because of the 2 days a year, but because of devoting their lives to Avodat Hashem for the entire year in order to work those 2 days a year. Okay, thank you very much. And again, I want to thank you.